The Lord will come and he will not tarry. At the appointed time he will come. He said he would come, he will come at the appointed time. I want to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus. Let's read from the 6th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The 16th verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet came from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall rise from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee. O daughter of Zion, we have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pains as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, girt thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous, revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. You know, the Lord speaks to us, telling us in his word to ask for the old paths. And here he tells us that the people said, we will not walk in the old paths. But the Lord said, if you will walk in the old paths, that you can find rest to your soul. Ask for the old paths and walk therein, that you may find rest unto your soul. But we will not walk in the old paths, they said. He said, hearken, or hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. That's the minister. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins. Hearken unto the trumpet, the voice of the trumpet. They said, we will not hearken unto it. The Bible said they have all become corrupt. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because God hath rejected them. And the spoiler is come upon the whole earth. Why? For two reasons. They would not walk in the old paths. Neither would they listen to the trumpet, the voice of the trumpet. You say, or the minister will say, do this or do that. Or the minister will say to them, you ought to dress this way and not that way. But they say, we will dress this way because we want to dress this way. We don't care what the trumpet says. And the minister says, don't walk in the modern way of vanity, but ask for the old paths of the biblical way of life. But they say, we will go the way we want to go. And the path that leads to the frolic of the world, and the path that leads to the good times of the world, and to the nightclubs and the places where we can drink, down along the beaches where we can frolic, and to the ball games and things of this world, we will go that way. But the minister said, don't do that. But they said, we will go that way. And the Lord said, they shall call you reprobate silver, because I have rejected you, and I have sent the spoiler upon you. For we will not hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. Therefore you will not know when the danger is come, because you would not listen to the sound of the trumpet. What we need to do is to listen to the voice of God. Amen. When we get to where we can listen to the voice of God or pay attention to the things of God, then the Lord is going to bless us, and the Lord is going to help us, and the Lord is going to keep us. But until we get to where we will listen, the Lord cannot keep us. He cannot keep us. There is no way that God can keep us. Now you say, Brother Pike, why can't God keep us? Because God cannot fellowship iniquity. God cannot fellowship uncleanliness. God cannot fellowship sin. There's no way that God can fellowship it. Therefore, we must hear the voice of the ministry. We must hear the voice of the ministry. You say, why should we hear the voice of the ministry? Because the voice of the ministry is the voice of God. There is no other voice of God in the earth but the voice of the ministry. God doesn't have but one voice, and that's the voice of the ministry. If you don't hear the voice of the ministry, then you've not heard the voice of God. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't need the ministry to tell me anything. I'll go to my bedroom and listen to God. Or I'll go out here in the field and listen to God. Or I'll study my Bible and listen to God. The man that does not obey the ministry will neither study the Bible and hear God's voice, nor fast and hear God's voice, nor pray and hear God's voice, nor go to the back room in solitude and hear God's voice. The man that doesn't hearken to the voice of the ministry will never hear God's voice. Amen. Except in the day of judgment unto condemnation and unto the judgment of God. The Lord's voice is in the earth. It is in the temple of God. It is in the ministry. Could you picture anybody? Anybody with any real intelligence, especially as great as God, could you picture anybody having a great thing and putting oversight over it, a great industry, a great orchard, or a great operation, and putting an oversight over it, and then letting anybody do any way they wanted to, go anywhere for their advice, work any way they wanted to, come to work when they got ready, do any way that they wanted to do? Could you picture God doing a thing like that? God has made a world. This is God's operation. This is God's world. This is God's thing, as we say. God has made the ocean. God has made the stars. God has made the trees. And God has made the people. And we all belong to God. All of us belong to God. And this is God's kingdom and God's operation and God's vineyard. Is that right? Then if this belongs to God, God's got overseers over it. The Bible said, taking the oversight over the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood, take the oversight and feed the church of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. God, the Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Ghost has made overseers and put overseers in the body. Brothers and sisters, if you work on a job and you don't hearken unto the overseers and you don't listen to the overseers, that overseer has the power to discharge you from your services and from your duties and completely do away with you. That's why the Bible tells us that whosoever sins that the minister remits shall be remitted. Whatsoever he retains shall be retained. Whatever he binds on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Whatever he blesses, I'll bless. Whatever he curses, I'll curse. Why does he say that? Because they are God's overseers. They are placed in charge. They have to answer to God. Now, I know there's a lot of ministers running from place to place. A lot of people. When we say ministers, they're not ministers of God at all. Some of them are ministers of Satan that has transformed themselves into ministers of the Word. But they're not ministers of God at all. I know that. And they're going from place to place. And they don't have any power and they don't have any authority and they can't dismiss you and they can't hire you. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you one thing. When God sends a minister, when he truthfully is a minister of God, and there is some God-sent ministers in the earth today, when God puts an overseer over the church, you'll hear that overseer. You'll honor that minister, or God will turn you into a lake of fire. Judgment begins in the house of God. That's the judge behind the sacred desk. That's what the minister's for. He's the judge. He's there to pass the sentence. He's there to decide, and he's there to read the laws and the verdicts. He doesn't just get up and in a wild notion pass some kind of sentence upon you because he doesn't like your look or like your framework or doesn't like the way that you say your words. The judge is controlled by the laws that's been made. And those laws that have been made, he's got an option from two or three laws. He can pass one this way or that way or another way. That's to come upon you. And then he has the power of leniency that is invested in him by his power of authority in his office, to where he can be kind and considerate. For he is the judge. He can do it. The minister can do that. The laws of this world, the judge of this world can do that. The ministry is God's oversight. God's got an oversight. This is a big operation. God's kingdom throughout the world. It's a big operation. And God's got his ministers and God's got his oversight. And he's got everything set in order, specifically in order to where everything must function just right. And these ministers have the oversight over it. And we must learn to hearken to the sound of the trumpet. We must walk in the ordained path or the way that these ministers set forth. If they are a minister of God, then they are giving you the Word of God according to the law. You know, you go out into the world, you meet a lot of policemen that are not really policemen. And you can give them a $25 tip on the side or a $50 cut on the side, and they'll bypass the law and do anything. But every now and then you run into a real policeman. And you can offer him $50 and you can offer him $100 and he'll just keep on writing and keep on writing and keep on writing. And when you get through, you say, well, I'll make it $500. He says, I'll see you in court. And he hands it to you and walks off and leaves you. He's a real policeman. He's got a job to do. He's not interested in your money and you can't buy him. And that's the way it is with the ministry. There are some true God-called ministers in the world. You can't buy them with your dollar. You can't get them to sidestep the ways of God for your foolishness because you look a little better than somebody else. Or because you can twirl your curls around your finger a little bit. You don't get them to sidestep God's Word. They're willing to stand by God's Word, to live by it, to die by it. And they'll see you in court someday. Face to face. And they'll stand there and you'll be charged with the things that they told you. What we've got to do is honor the word of the Lord. Hear the voice of the trumpet. When I'm going down the road, if I get a little bit too fast and my foot gets a little bit heavy and I hear the sound of that trumpet or that siren sound out, I begin to look to see which way it's coming from and what kind it is and what they're doing. If it's a policeman coming up behind me, it don't take me but a few minutes to find the side of the road and stop. And when he comes up to me, I don't begin to tell him how I feel and what I think about him and begin to smart off at him, as the world says. I say, "Sir, what have I done?" Because I see the badge, I know the authority, I know he can take put me in court and they can turn the key. The Bible said, "Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the jailer, and the jailer cast thee into prison, and then you'll not come out till you pay the uttermost farthing." I say, "Sir, tell me what's wrong. I'm sorry, sir." That's the way I talk to him. And a soft answer turns away wrath. And a lot of times he might stand there and scratch his head and look at me and he say, "Why were you doing it?" Sometimes you don't speak so soft either, but I speak soft back to him. I say, "Sir, I didn't know." Sometimes he said, "Well, okay, go on your way. Since you don't do it no more," I say, "Yes, sir." And I go on my way. But you know, I've seen some of the others, and I've seen them stop them. They'd say, "What are you doing that for?" I've been present with them. I didn't notice it. "Oh, give me a break." Keep right on writing. "So you ought to give a fellow a break." Just keep right on writing. Here it is. $50. Get on his bike and he's gone. You understand what I'm saying? Brother, God has got overseers in the church. It's better that you respect God's overseers, and it's better that you humble your heart and listen to God's word. They are God's ministers, the Bible said. And I've said this so many times from the sacred desk. The Bible said, "Seeing that they are the ministers of God, will you not be afraid? Seeing that they have the power to bind your sins to you, or to remit your sins, or to turn you over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh because of your foolishness. Seeing that they have the power of God that he hath invested in them as overseers to run his kingdom, to watch after the things in the earth. Will you not be afraid, seeing that they are God's ministers and they are set there as revengers for God to execute judgment upon them that do evil? Then will ye not be afraid also for conscience' sake? But yet we come into the house of God with old ugly spirits. We do not hearken to the voice of the trumpet. We defy the ministry. We have them to come in to defy the ministry, openly defy the ministry. Foolishness. We've seen them buried. We've been to the funerals. We've seen their homes burned down. We've seen things happen to them because they openly defied the ministry. In every case, there is sorrow. I told somebody the other day, I said, "Listen," and I named off one right after another just continually, never giving out, but just finally stopped. I said, "Look at every one of them," and I named the things that had happened to them, to them and their family and their loved ones. I said, "Not one person, not one has defied the kingdom of God or the things of God or even the things at Bethlehem, but what some sorrow, a horrible thing, a broken home or a broken heart or some bad thing has happened to them. And God letting it come in measures at times, different times, in their families, in their loved ones, in wrecks, in financial problems, in spiritual oppressions and different things. Letting it happen a little bit at a time, trying to break them, trying to reason with them, trying to get them to see that they've got to reverence the voice of the trumpet and hearken to the voice of the trumpet, and they've got to walk in the pathways of God." And the prophet spoke, and the prophet said to them, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Ask for the old paths and walk therein, and you'll find rest to your soul." How can I find rest? How can I find rest? It's when my children are well, and when my wife is well, and when my body is well, And when my loved ones are well, and when I've got a good income to pay my bills, and when everything is sober and I'm happy and strong and healthy and well in the sight of God, and when I don't have to go to bed at night afraid I'll die and go to hell if I happen to die in my sleep. See, peace. They that keep their minds stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then, ask for the old paths. Do you even ask for the old paths? Do you even care for the old paths? Do you even want the old paths? When it comes to the dressing, I say this so many times, people mock. They make fun. They say, oh, it doesn't matter with God. It does matter with God. You might get by with it and say, well, the church of such and such dresses like this, and the church of such and such go to the ball game and they do this. I know they do, and I know God has been with them, in that many of them didn't know any better, but God is bringing them to the judgment because they know better, and God isn't in that thing. And many of them have paid horrible prices for their ignorance and their errors and their willing disobedience. You go back and check through their lives and check through their families and see the death of their loved ones and find the sorrows and the heartaches, and you'll see the terrible price that they paid for their rebellion. And you say, well, they say it's all right. It may be all right. Others can do it, but you can't. Others can do it, but you can't. Now, will they get by with it? No, they won't get by with it. They've got it to pay for. You can't mix darkness with light. You've got it to pay for. You can't mix a little leaven with what you're doing without leavening the whole lump. Know ye not a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, and leaven is likened unto sin? So then you cannot do that. Sometimes I exceedingly tremble when I think of the greatness of God, and maybe I've erred just a little bit, not knowing it, not meaning to. And I discover my decision. I do exceedingly tremble before God. Moses said, and the sight was so great that I did exceedingly tremble. That was the former light. And he did exceedingly tremble. And the Bible said the latter light shall be greater than that of the former light. The latter rain shall be greater than that of the former rain. And the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. And he said concerning the former house, ah, the sight was so terrible, I did exceedingly tremble. And the Bible said, blessed is the man that trembleth at my words. I shake and I tremble. I get to thinking about God's word, and I hear the sound of the trumpet. And I do exceedingly tremble, and I shake. I get away in the hours of the night and the morning, and I shake. And I exceedingly tremble before God. And I say, my God, people are being turned into hell by the millions. Every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. All nations. We say, Brother Pike, don't you know God isn't going to turn all these nations into hell? The Bible said every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. It doesn't matter whether it's America. We can say great America if we want to. But God said if America forgets God, I'll turn her into the lake of fire. Germany will be turned into hell. All the other nations will be turned into hell. And oh, my brother, traveling into South America and Central America and into Europe and around the different parts of the world, when I see the things that I see, I do exceedingly fear. I go back to my apartment. I go back to the little place where I'm staying. And sometimes when my wife is asleep and my children are asleep and those that are traveling with me are asleep, I get away by myself and I'm weary and worn and nervous and can't sleep, can't do nothing. And I get by myself and I say, my God, my God, my God, help me. People are dying and going to hell and I can't do nothing about it. And sometimes I twist and I squirm all night long because I can't do nothing about it. And even though here at Little Bethlehem, I'm trying, and I'm sure you're trying, and we're trying. But oh, beloved friend, we're not doing anything to what we ought to be doing for God. I was telling Frank today, I said, I want to do something for Jesus. I want to do something for Jesus. How can you lifelessly unconcerned go on and on and on? Day after day and never fast a meal and never pray a prayer. Never testify, never search, never give to God. Never do anything and keep on gluttoning and gluttoning. Buying and getting gain and going on day after day and knowing that hell is waiting for you. And thousands of people are dying and going to hell and not making any effort to straighten up your crooked ways. How can you do it? Oh, you're bound to meet God at the judgment. See, what you don't understand is here we are at the judgment, beloved friend. And judgment shall begin at the house of God. You know what? Through the past years, judgment has been in the house of God. It's been in the presence of the ministry. It's been in the house of God all down through the years. It's been in the house of God. And here we are in the house of God. All these many years, God's been pleading with His people. God's people has been under severe punishment and severe judgment in every little thing that they do. They're chastened for it and brought in line. And we say, Lord, what is this? We're killed all the day long for Your sake, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. What's wrong, God? When we serve You and we're the one that takes the chastisement, and we serve You and we're the ones, God, that's always in trouble and in problems. And we end up by saying, God, if in this life only we have hope, then we are more miserable than anybody else. Surely we must have a hope somewhere else. But then we hear God answer back. And God says judgment begins at the house of God. And I'm bringing you out of sin. And I'm judging you. And I'm chastening you. And I'm dealing with you as children. While there's yet grace to where I can reach you. Where I can pull you in. Where I can gather you as a hen doth her brood. To where I can shield you. Because if judgment begins at the house of God, where will it go when I finish with the house of God? No, beloved friend, God is about finished with the house of God. God's people are being drawn in. And God's about got His number, and God's about got His people. And now judgment is about ready to go to the world and to those that are without. And if it begin at the house of God, what will happen to them out there? God has let the judgment be among God's people. He's had to shape us up and trim us up and purge us. But now the judgment is about over in the house of God. And God has put us through the fire and God's put us through the test. And now God's brought us into His loving presence and into His kindness. And here we stand. But beloved friend, God is fixing to take judgment to those that are without the church. Those that do not have a church home. Those that do not have God. Those that are not in the body of Christ. Those that are without the Spirit of God that's out there in the world. God is about to take it out there. And oh, what a sad time that'll be when the bombs begin to burst. When arms are blown off. And when the powers of the bums begin to eat the eyes out of the socket. For the Bible said their very eyes shall consume away in the sockets. The flesh shall drop from their bones and the troubles and the torments and the tortures that shall come upon some of them. He says, and in such hours some of them will not even be able to die. They'll pray for death and seek death and beg for death, but death will flee from them. They won't even have the opportunity of dying out of their misery. You know, I've seen people, perhaps you've never seen this, but I have. I've seen people in such great pain and such great misery that they were pleading to die. I've been present. They wanted to die, to get out of their misery. But God said, I'm going to subject some of these cruel, rebellious people, He called them. These that wouldn't hearken to the voice of the trumpet. These that wouldn't walk in the old path. These are rebellious. These are contrary. These that want to go every way but God's way and do everything contrary to God and be a reproach to God. And they won't be able to die. Though they plead for death, I won't let them die. Oh, I've seen misery in my time. Perhaps you've never seen it. But I've encountered some miseries. I've encountered some torments. I've encountered some things that it would have been so much better if I'd have been dead.
And at those times I thought, God, death would be such a sweet relief. But oh, let me tell you something. There's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to die. And we're right on the verge of the judgment and the entire destruction of the world. And we're right on the verge of the calamity of all mankind. And we're right on the verge of the translation of the church of the living God. And judgment is leaving the church and going to the world out there. Oh, you say, I can't believe it is happening. Oh, I can feel the Holy Ghost. I can feel His presence. They pounced on us, mocked us, found fault with us. But now God has secured His people. We've been ridiculed and we've mocked and we stood up as the early church and suffered shame for His name. But now God is putting His people together and God is sealing His people in. God is going to the brute beast of this world and going into the world. And now their misery has come. Their misery. And the Bible said in that day there shall be no healing medicine and no man shall save them. The hospitals are overrun. The insane asylums are overrun. The highways just ravished everywhere. Why? Because they wouldn't ask for the old paths and they don't have any peace. They didn't want the Prince of Peace and they can't find any peace. They would none of me. Wisdom said, and I will laugh at them when their calamity comes and mock when their fear comes upon them. I, Wisdom, stand at the door and I knock and I ask you to listen to me, Wisdom cried out. But you would not of me. You didn't want to be wise. You didn't want to hear me. But I will mock in the day of your calamity. I will laugh when your fear cometh upon you. There'll come a day when you'll want me, Wisdom said, and you'll seek me more than gold and silver, but you can't find me. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. It's a sad hour. Why can't we hearken unto the sound of the trumpet? Why can't we listen? Why do we have to be reprobate silver? Why do we have to be that which the spoiler has come upon? Why is it that we have to mock that which is good and defy that which is holy? Why is it we can't do something for God? Why is it we can't confess our sins? Why is it we can't come together in the mind and the understanding of Jesus and realize that we don't have anything with those people in the world, that we are a separate people called out and we are different upon from those people and we will never be able to mix with those people out there. Never. They mark us just as quick as we get out there. They'll say, come on and go with us. And they want us to live it up. And the very minute that you mention Jesus Christ, then they brand you. And they put you through the fire test to see if you'll make believe. And if you'll make believe, you're all right. If you're reprobate silver, you can go along with them. But if they find out you pressure them a little bit and you press the cause and you press the issue to stand for righteousness, they say, oh yes, he's one of them. As the song said, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm one of them. And then they begin to withdraw from you. And they begin to find fault with you. You know, John Wayne is laying at the point of death right now. I think Carter went up to visit with him. I was in town the other day and I happened to see her. Happened to see one of these magazines on the rack. A little picture of him, I just caught my eye. I was talking to David about him, and I happened to see it. And I looked over there, and all whopped up like a freak, a patch over his eye. The doctors say that his intestines are eaten up with cancer, ready to die, ready to meet an angry God. Lived his life in the lust of the flesh, done everything to please his old flesh, done everything that the devil wanted him to do, lived it up, drawed thousands and millions of people into the flames of hell and into the burning pit, was a good instrument for the devil. And I'm sure the Catholics, and I'm sure that the priests, and I'm sure that the preachers, and I'm sure that the others, the celebrities, they'll try to preach him into heaven like they did Elvis Presley. But brothers and sisters, when you live your life in sin, you're going to go to hell. I don't care what the priest say. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what anybody says. God's Word says you'll go to hell. And that's the way you go. And I told David, I said, there he is, the great John Wayne. But look at him now. They call him the Duke. Look at him now. Why didn't he give his heart to God? Why didn't he serve God? Somebody say, the poor, pitiful fellow. He didn't know no better. Don't lie against the truth. A man with that kind of intelligence, a man with that kind of fame, a man with that kind of money. You mean to tell me that that man never heard the gospel? Preachers and TV and papers and him traveling and going everywhere. He heard it. Like the man that come down here to do the story on us for the newspaper. He told me, said that he was the man that done the stories on the movie stars and said he'd done it on John Wayne. Said when he come to Atlanta, Georgia, said, I've done the story on it. Said we were together. And said, Brother Pike, he curses continually and drinks all the time drinking. Said he's drinked himself to death. What about that? Where will he go? He'll go to hell. What hath he done? He's lived his life for the devil. Somebody said, that's horrible. But you're doing the same thing. You may not be him. You may not be a movie star, but you're still doing the same thing. You're just as wretched as he is. Because you're still leading people into hell. The Bible said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm not working against you. I'm not working against God. But you're not working for God. God didn't say that you have to work against me. He said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You're automatically working against God when you don't work with God. There's no middle of the road. You're on one side or another. If you're not working with God, then friend, your life is testifying to the wrong thing and going after the world. And Satan savors the things that be of the world and of the flesh. And you're following those kind of things. And you're leading people after you to the things of this world. And you are the tool of the devil. And you will go to hell. I want you to stand with me. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would but fail. And without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus.